This episode of Rax Fur and Feathers is brought to you by Red Bud Liquor at 3213 West Front Street in Buchanan, Michigan. The largest selection of liquor and craft beer in the area and the coldest beer in Bucktown.
Also, they are now selling hunting and fishing licenses, so stop in, see Greg, and pick yours up today. I'm Bert.
I'm Adam.
I'm Ray.
And this is the Rax Fur and Feathers Podcast.
Man. All right. So, drinking beer and talking smart. I don't even have my headphones on. I feel weird. Another drinking beer and talking smart. I actually did talk a little smart. Talked solar and tables and pretty serious.
We didn't actually drink that much beer either. It's weird. It's like we just came off a sober October or something. I don't know about changed men, but
I am. My habits, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you guys
for me,
probably
you do whatever you want.
Tell the difference.
You drink all the beer you want.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Whiskey or, you know, whatever.
More beer here than I do at home.
Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Straight out of Jason Aldean's teat.
A couple lines off hookers' asses. You know, whatever you want to do. It's up to you. Whatever.
Anyway,
take this knife back now.
Right. It was a fun episode. Talked pretty much deer hunting the entire time. Think you guys are really going to enjoy it. So, without further ado, drinking beer and talking smart. 5, 6, what are we on?
Oh, boy.
One of them.
It's got to be up there.
That one.
All right. Enjoy.
5 and a half.
The next one.
So, anyway, we need to talk about the dentist thing. Like, because that shit is fucked up. So, your son went to the dentist today, and you got to tell him what happened.
Well, okay, if you want to start from the beginning, he broke his tooth, I'm not sure how many months ago. Broke a piece of one of his teeth or whatever. Well,
not so, Alex. This is the oldest.
My oldest, my 24-year-old. Well, he will be 24 anyway.
Breaking a tooth sucks.
And then he just let it go.
Right.
The wife's telling him, you need to get to the dentist before something happens, where you start feeling pain, blah, blah, blah. Well, finally, it started hurting him. So, set up an appointment. He went in. And he has a wisdom tooth, you know, growing sideways that they need to take out. That's starting to hurt.
Right.
So they got to get that out. Well, apparently our insurance won't cover numbing his whole mouth at the same time.
I'm like, okay.
I've never heard of that, but
That's weird. Never heard of that either.
So they scheduled it for 2 consecutive days. Go get the broken tooth taken out. And then the next day come in to get the wisdom tooth taken care of.
Okay.
So we did that. The broken tooth, whatever, that came out fine. A little small and, you know, whatever.
Sure.
No big deal. He goes in there today to get his wisdom tooth pulled. You start pulling it, getting the process, and the dentist drops the tool in his mouth.
Oh, God.
And it didn't, like, rip his mouth up or anything.
Right.
But the dentist cut his hand retrieving said tool after he dropped it. I don't know if he panicked, you know, and just reached in there and grabbed it, the drill or whatever he was doing.
You know, before it went down his throat.
And just, yeah, just cut his hand and bled in my kid's mouth. So he finished his work.
Go over that again, because that's the most fucked up part of the story. Besides,
it sounds like an episode of Saw. It's the fucking,
he bled.
It's the absolute worst.
The dentist bled into your kid's mouth.
And this is an ADA-approved dentist that has been
and
in
he
practice.
Said it was awkward anyway, because the dentist was left-handed, working in the right side of his mouth, so it was weird, because he had to pretty much, you know, sit in his lap to even get in there and get the work done. So he was already like, this is bullshit. And then when he dropped his drill or whatever it was, I'm not sure what the hell it was, but and then cut himself
scalpel.
And bled in his mouth. He didn't say anything to Boston about it, so Boston didn't know.
He didn't even, oh my God. He was like, hey.
Until after he was done, he's like, all right, here's the situation.
Well, I got to admit something.
When I dropped that, I cut myself. You got a little bit of blood in your mouth, so now we both have to go, since, you know, my wound was in your mouth. I don't know what you have. You just swallowed some of my blood.
Oh, my God.
So
we
both have to go get a blood test. So they go down to the Beacon or something. It was in a pretty shady neighborhood, I guess, Vicky said. And they were in there
dentist?
For like an hour and 20 minutes.
So it wasn't at the hospital. It was at a clinic.
And there's people, you know, for their employment, for their unemployment, for their probation, all in there.
Oh, Lord.
He's in there with this dentist.
It's a weird
blood in his mouth.
I was going to say, that's a weird way to open the show, but I thought that was worth talking about because that is fucked up.
If you guys have any weird dentist experiences, go ahead and send them to us.
I'm not a lawyer, but that sure sounds like fucking malpractice to me.
That's exactly what I told my kid.
Was he drunk?
Holy shit.
I have no clue. I wasn't there.
Was this the first, a real long lunch break.
First mouth he ever bled in? Or
I don't know that either.
That freaks me out.
I'll ask you what name of the dentist, but it'll be off mic. I don't want to condemn anybody on the show yet. Just know wherever you are, right. I'm never going to you.
Yeah.
Right.
Dr. Brown, so watch out.
Give him a nice review there. Mm. So, shifting gears.
Yes.
Just like the Bucks mindset has been shifting gears off of grass and onto ass. The rut seems to be kicking off pretty good here.
I heard that.
No, still ain't ready, but man, them Bucks are getting stupid. I've been seeing them everywhere on my way to work, man. Every day.
Coon actually texted me last weekend. He said that he saw the biggest deer of his life when he had a weapon in his hand this last weekend. It was, I believe it was Sunday morning.
And it didn't die?
No. It came into 34 yards, and he said had it taken another four steps in, he would have placed a shot on it. But the buck, it came across the road off of Pine Lake, crossed Pine Lake to get to where he was in a stand, and came into 34 yards and would not come any closer. Decided after a certain amount of time that he didn't care about the grunt calls anymore or the doe bleats.
Like they have a seventh sense, man, or some shit.
I told him, you know, deer didn't get that big being stupid, but he said it was like a moose with antlers. It's a monster buck. And if Coon says it's a monster buck, it's got to be a monster buck. So I felt bad for him. So he should have just, you know, should have winged
behind
it
and sent it over to Ray's house.
Right, there you go. Yeah.
No, he lives out in a different area now, but
tell him his ass better start practicing at 40.
Well, he hasn't had a lot of time
practice
this year.
At 50 and 60.
Right.
So he's comfortable at 40.
Right.
Well, 60's tough for me.
Mm-hmm. 60's tough for anybody. I mean, a 60-yard shot with a bow, you have how much flight time before that arrow gets, after it leaves your bow, to where it hits your target, so...
Any that's little mistake, it's amplified.
That's a serious
man,
poke.
I had him lined right up, and then thunk, yeah! And the arrow wasn't even there.
Right.
Fucker ran off, nothing.
Speaking of big bucks and weird shit happened with your arrow, my brother apparently is sitting in like the Bermuda Triangle out of Popsies. So, got a funny story for you.
Okay.
Actually, it's really not funny at all. It's kind of weird. We went hunting Monday or Tuesday night, and he tells me that the day before when he went out, he's like, yeah, so remember how, like I said, that big buck came through, and I was looking at this other little buck, and then I missed my opportunity to shoot said big buck, and then I said a little bit later, a little 5-point came through. So I took a crack at that 5-point. So
Bob, come on, Bob. Right,
which, I don't blame him. I mean, if I didn't, because I did fill my restricted tag.
Him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you got a combo tag, I'd start sweating right now.
No, I'm not one to talk.
You get one in the freezer, and then you get picky.
Mm. I got a doe in the freezer, which I'll talk about in a minute.
I did, too.
Yeah, I did the same thing you did, and I just tagged with my restricted. And we'll talk about that in a second. But anyway, he's like, I took a crack at that 5-point. And he's like, you know, I wish he was here to tell a story. He was like, you know, I drew back, got it right on him, thwap, bow went off. And he's like, the Luminoc, or his Nocturnals, that one didn't work for whatever reason. So he's like, that was weird. But he's like, I swear to God, I watched that arrow go right behind the shoulder and look like it made a nice clean pass through. The deer ran up about 15 yards and stopped for a second. And he's like, and I could look, it looked like he had, I'm not sure if he said he stopped or not, now I think about it, but he said he had, when he ran away, it looked like he had a nice hole right in the side where he shot.
Okay.
He's how like, close was the shot?
He said it was pretty close, like 15 yards. Because he said he had a pretty, I mean, my brother hangs stands like 40 feet in the fucking air. I mean, not literally, but I mean, they're up there. So, you know, he said he had a pretty good angle on it and everything. And like I said, it made look like a great shot. So we kept hunting. No big deal. And so he gets down a little bit later to go look for blood. And there's no blood and no arrow anywhere. So he's like, what the hell? So then he's like, he said, actually, at one point, he actually got down and like put his face against the ground to look and see if he can't see like this knock or something sticking up above the leaves.
Right.
Nothing. No hair, no blood. He could see the deer's tracks and kind of look at where the leaves were ruffled up. And he takes a pic. This is actually a good idea. I've never done this. I'm going to start. After the shot, he takes a picture on his cell phone. So he knows exactly where the deer stand. Then he gets down on the ground and compares. So he's like, well, I know the deer went
this way. So he starts walking over there a little bit. No blood. Nowhere. Where he went into all the brush, where he for sure would have had blood brushing against some leaves.
Right.
Nothing. Not a damn thing. Went back, looked for the fucking arrow again. Nothing. It's just like the arrow vanished in midair. Like, what do you do?
Starting to be the Ruff family curse.
I was going to say, yeah, sounds familiar. Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, that is weird, right?
You should probably just retire and let me hunt your spots.
What do you do?
No shit.
I would call Bo Jurgensen.
I'd be
Deer Recovery Service.
Yeah, well, so
I'd be too embarrassed. Like, I know every week I give you a call to come track a deer for me.
you guys will hear about this in a minute too. We had to call Bo again, not for this deer. I was like, we got to quit meeting like this, man.
Yeah, no kidding.
God. Yeah, that's so weird, right? I mean, what do you do? What do you do? I mean, do you just start like, you're going to ruin your spot for at least a while. I mean, if you're going to take a group of guys and just start doing a grid pattern, do you call Bo? You don't even have any blood. For all you know, you could have just missed and your arrow's buried in the fucking dirt.
Yeah, that's the hard
And that was
part.
The first thing I asked him. I said, well, is there a chance that you did miss and your arrow's just buried in the fucking mud?
Right.
He's like, no, because I shot a squirrel in that same spot the other day in the dirt and it only stuck this far. Funny story about that squirrel. So, shoots the squirrel.
With a bow. Okay.
This was actually, I think, the same day as the deer. Shoots the squirrel, sticks it, right? So the arrow's stuck in the ground. The squirrel's flopping around doing its thing.
With a broadhead?
Yeah. So he's like, you know, I'm sitting there waiting for the squirrel to die, and the thing's just going nuts. So he's like, finally, I had to get down, and, you know, I was going to go put the thing out of its misery and grab my arrow. I got down there, and there's no fucking squirrel. It's gone. What the hell?
Arrow's there.
Blood all over the arrow. I mean, like, he pinned it to the damn ground. Right. So that's why Bobby is hunting the Bermuda Triangle of Popsy's property right now, apparently. Because that's two weird instances in the same day.
I'm not a big fan of conspiracy theories. I know we talked about the Halloween episode where we talked about, you know, UFOs and stuff. But if you miss two animals in the same spot in the same day, maybe you're not shooting good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to call Bob a liar because, I mean, even though he did lie about taking laxatives to poop in the woods.
Here we go.
taking laxatives to poop in the woods.
Anyways.
But yeah, that's weird shit. So, I should probably not eat these while we're doing a podcast.
I'll eat them for you.
Yeah, there you go. So, why we had to call Bo. Man, we got so many goddamn stories since we had one of these. I don't even know where to start. So, Ethan's deer. As you guys have heard before, my kid was having some high school girl lust issues, so he wasn't hunting.
Right.
As much as, you know, we thought he should be. We finally got him out, broke up with his girlfriend, actually, made it out there.
Oh, snappity snap.
Fucking A. And sure as shit, we put him in a really good spot, and where we've been seeing a lot of small bucks coming through. And about right at first light, had one coming up the trail to him. And I got a text message from both the boys in the group message saying, that sounded good. He said, it looked good, you know. So I knew he shot. I'm like, well, where'd you hit him? He said, it looked a little forward, but sounded good, looked good. And I think I just heard him crash. Sweet. First light. This was Saturday morning or Sunday. It was Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
Yep. So I'm like, cool, man. Just keep hunting. And then you know how it is, especially when you're hunting with a group of guys and somebody's got one down and then like, thinking like, dude, I got to do this today. Right. I got to do this today. And we still got to get this thing gutted, drug out of here. I already had one hanging, so I was going to have to get her quartered and in the fridge so I can get him up. And I was like, fuck, dude, we need to get down and get this handled. So we got down to like 8:30, which is a little earlier. I mean, that's way earlier than we wanted to.
Super early.
Right. But I mean, we left. It was a good hour that thing had to lay. And I'm thinking, this thing's dead up right over the hill. No big deal.
Right.
We get down, start following blood, and I'm already worried because it's showing classic signs of a muscle shot deer. A lot of bright red blood right where the shot site was, and it slowly tapers. We followed basically to nothing. It was like every hill we crested, we're like, it's going to be right around the corner. It's going to be right up there.
Right.
Nope. So finally, we got to the point, and this was the really weird thing, where we did lose blood. He's telling me he shot this deer forward and maybe a little high. So we find the last blood and it's two drops of dark, watery blood.
which, after talking with Bo, liver, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, the stories aren't matching up here, you know, so we're like, what the hell? So we, I ended up backing out. I had to take them to work, actually, for Mike Ferris, who we've talked about. Dropped them off, called my brother and called Ray. We all got out there and started looking at my brother, being the blood splatter expert.
Sure, sure.
Started picking out some things that I didn't notice, one of which being white hair, not only on the arrow, but like not just at the shot site, but several feet down the trail. White blood in, white hair in the blood, which you, when I started thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, you're right. You don't ever see that.
White hair is usually you a sign that you shot
belly. There's low, only, there's right,
real low
gut shot.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only, you know, a couple places on a deer that have white fur,
right?
Tail, neck, belly.
Right.
And under their armpits. So I started thinking about that. I'm like, well, it could have been, you know, maybe it wasn't,
yeah,
a shoulder.
Yeah, it wasn't pass through. So.
Right. The arrow only stuck in about halfway. And when we found the arrow, there, I mean, you could tell. I mean, it was halfway in. I mean, there was blood halfway up, right, but with white hair on the end.
That's bad news, man.
Right. And he's thinking, well, I had him at a, I, the arrow was at a real extreme angle when he was running away. Well, I'm looking back at that tree stand. I'm like, I don't think that's that big of a fucking angle. Like, so.
No, because it was on the side of a hill, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, they were almost so eye really, level.
Yeah. When so he shot, he was probably like 8 feet higher than.
Yeah, it wasn't,
the deer was.
Right. It wasn't as extreme as I think he thought it was. So, yeah, so Bobby's all confused, too. I'm like, I just want to find this thing so we know where the hell he hit him, because now, right, I'm confused.
Right.
Because I'm thinking the white hair is, and the reason it's in the blood down the trail is that he did hit it forward, did hit it high. But, you know, if there's white hair in the armpits, it's got to puncture the skin three times. In, out, and then back in.
Right.
You know, as far as it went. So, I'm thinking, well, maybe that isn't the friction from when he's running. That's where the hair is coming into play. Whatever. But then you have the dark blood with the water in it, which says gut shot. And that's, I'm telling Bo over the phone when I finally call him after me, my brother, and Ray couldn't find him.
Yeah.
I did add about 5 yards, 8 yards.
You did. You did.
When I got there.
It was in the right, yeah. Yeah. But that's it. I mean, there was just absolutely nothing.
Huh.
And it looked promising because it was drops. And then we found a pool of blood again.
Like,
and then
he
some drops
coughed going, or stood right there.
Right. Maybe where he stopped and
here we go. And then nothing.
Yeah, there wasn't shit. So, ended up calling Bo. Bo couldn't make it out till dark. So, that was a long couple hours. Came back, edited the podcast. Sorry for the late drop, guys. Got that up. We went back out there. Bell took us to where we lost the blood and kept going. He was going that same direction. And basically, long story short, this thing went up and down two valleys, and then the last valley he got to, I knew it was really, really deep. I'd never been to the bottom of it. Apparently, there's a creek down there through all that thicket. Got to the creek, which was pretty much dried up. It was just a muddy mess. Got through all of that, and then went back uphill, jumping over logs. And then, you know, after about an hour of tracking, Bo looks back at me. He's like, this deer never laid down. Not once.
Right.
He's like, I don't think he had a dead deer. He's like, I think he hit him high in the shoulder. And all that blood you were seeing was just muscle blood. He's like, because now he's walking. And then you can see here, we jumped over this log. And then we got to another point where it was a property line. And I'm like, it's not even worth calling him to ask permission because I don't think he's dead. So.
Right, right.
So that was Ethan's buck.
How big was the buck?
He said it was just like a little fork or a little 5-point.
Hmm.
Nothing huge.
Still not something you want to.
No, and that's why I called Bo, because I'm like, because, you know, sometimes I've been on trails before like that with the muscle blood, and you get to a point where, like, I know I didn't double lung this deer.
Right.
Or hit any lung, hit any vital, so, I mean, it's done. So, but this one, with the penetration he had, I thought for sure he was done, but not so much. So, like Bo said, he's like, what could have happened, too, is like that white hair could have came off a ricochet. Thing he could have hit him high and forward and hit that shoulder, and that arrow could have just ricocheted straight down and came out by his belly. And then what's really weird about that is the next day I saw a trail cam picture from somewhere in Michigan. I actually asked the guy if it was in the Niles Buchanan area. He said he was up by, I forgot where, but hours away. But yeah, it looked like the same thing happened to deer's on camera with a hole, you know, in the upper part of his shoulder, and you can see where the arrow rode down between his skin and his rib cage and stuck out his belly.
Huh.
So that deer lives to fight another day.
Right.
But it was nice to see Bo again.
I guess.
Right. Kind of. I mean, wish it was under different circumstances, but my doe, not much to say. Just.
She came in, you shot her, she died. Mm-hmm.
Really super quick, man. I got up in the stand and, you know, when you're kind of get, when you're bow hunting, especially, you got, you know, your call, your rattling bag, all this shit you're kind of getting, you know, in your certain little spots and getting set up, and I knock an arrow, go to hang it on the, yeah, I need one, brother. Please. No, that's why I got him. Bell's Oktoberfest. That'd be so sweet if Bell's ever sponsored us. Yeah, so I knocked an arrow, put it on the hanger, and as I'm letting go of my bow, I catch the movement out of the corner of my eye, and it was her, another doe, two little ones coming up the hill. So I'm like, well, shit. Here we go. And at first, you know, first thought that crossed my head was, I'm not going to shoot a doe right now. And that was quickly followed by, fuck it.
Yes, I am.
I need some fucking meat. Right. Let's just do it. So
the mighty meat.
She made it way too easy, man. She was like 10, 12 yards. Went, got behind an oak tree, drew back. Thunk. It was great. That I felt so good about that kill until after. But she hopped twice, looked back where she came from, wobbled a little bit, fell over and died. Nice, clean, didn't have to track nothing until the little button buck kept circling back and nudging her
Mom,
and shit.
Right. Mom! Mom! Oh.
That sucks.
But... Go play with your aunt, kid.
Right. Well, you know, that's the way it goes. They don't tell you in Bambi what happened when Bambi's mom died. They just tell you that she got shot and that was
foster
the
parents.
Yeah. That button buck went and found himself a skunk and lived happily ever after with a skunk and a rabbit as his best friend.
But no. So, yeah, that's awesome. Got some meat in the freezer, finally. That's fucking awesome.
That's great.
I don't think we have any other dead deer or almost dead deer. I did have a miss in between there. Actually, the miss was before we even sat down with Bobby. We never got to it, and I wasn't even mad about it.
No kidding.
So that same tree stand, I'm walking out there about a week before, and we had moved a bunch of tree stands and hung up on one new one a couple weeks ago. We had all that rain on the Saturday. Mm-hmm. It was just cold, nasty, shitty, rainy.
Yes, it was.
So we got out there and we're like, well, this is a perfect time to do what we want to do.
Right.
Got them hung.
You didn't hang it by yourself, right?
I did.
Oh.
It's a ladder stand.
Oh, okay.
It's not bad. I told you, no more chain on.
Carry on.
So we were just talking about that tree stand today, actually.
Death trap.
Right. But we hung all these tree stands, so I was really stoked the next day. You know, I wasn't going to be able to hunt in the morning, but I could hunt that next afternoon. Mm-hmm. I was so fucking excited, man. I'm like, I can't wait to hunt the stand. Can't wait to hunt the stand. There's going to be deer everywhere. And I'm following my flags because I'm not too familiar, you know, with the new area. And I come out, I crest a hill, and I'm looking for my next flag. I'm like, oh, there's a tree stand. And there's a set of legs. And that's definitely a deer. Like, standing right underneath my damn tree stand. With his, I could see his back legs and a little bit of his belly. And it was, I could tell it was a buck just because of the size. It was just a big buck. If that was a doe, she was huge.
Right.
So, I'm thinking, sweet. It didn't see me.
So you get to sneak up.
Well, he heard me coming, so he knew something was up. So I try not to push it. So I crept forward to where I thought I was going to be able to get a range on him. Cause the problem was where I could see him. There was a bunch of brush and stuff in the way. I didn't have a clear shot. Okay. And the rangefinder couldn't pick them up. It was picking up those branches and shit in between.
Right.
Finally shuffled to where I got a spot where I could read them. I hit him at 44 twice. I'm like, okay. But I didn't have a shot. So I had to get to another spot a little bit closer and over to where if he could get out of there, I was going to have a shot.
Sure.
What pin am I going to use? Because I had him at 44. I got a little bit closer. I couldn't range him for where I was at for my shot because I didn't have my shot yet, if that makes any sense. And I wasn't going to have time to whip out my rangefinder before.
To get the shot.
And no, I couldn't get the tree because now the tree had shit in front of it. So I'm like, fuck. So I'm looking back to where I was. I'm looking back where I was. I'm like, well, if that was a 44, we all know I'm not a math major. So I'm like, it's got to be about 36, 37 to my estimate. So I drew back when he gave me a chance. And put the pin, and he stopped, thank God. So just a perfect broadside shot. I had my 40-yard pin right at his belly, the bottom of his belly, or chest, and my first pin, like at the top of his back, kind of.
Okay.
And
that's perfect for 36 yards, except for he was at 40, and I watched the arrow go right where my 40-yard pin was, right underneath his fucking chest, and he ran away. And then I shot a doe a couple days later.
The nice end. Story, bro.
The end.
Well, at least you got one.
Mm-hmm. But I got some curse when it comes to bucks, dude. You guys realize I haven't shot a buck. I didn't shoot a buck last year for the first time.
I didn't realize that.
I didn't shoot a buck last year for the first time since 2011, which was the first year I didn't shoot one with a bow either. No, dude, I shot a buck 2011. I think for the first time ever.
I guess I was thinking last year was when you got that big old bastard that's on your wall.
No, that was 2017. That pie ball last year I got that.
The rhino's deer.
Yeah, that big bitch. Yeah, last year I got the antler doe. I got to fill a buck tag, but it wasn't a buck.
Right.
So, and remember last year, that's I know
right, we... the unicorn.
Yeah. Unicorn. And then, yeah, last year, I'm sure we talked about all the bullshit I had. And it was range issues last year, too. I had that buck come in, and it was a wide open shot. Perfect, man. I thought he was like a 22 yards or 20 yards. And
right.
No, fucking 35 or whatever it was.
I remember that. I remember my first year hunting when I had range issues.
Just realized what a dick thing that was to say.
I tried to say it subtly, and you didn't pick it up right away. So it worked.
Anyway, did you had some range issues? Is that what you said?
Oh, you remember that.
Yeah, you said you missed that first eight.
That was my first time. That was my second miss. The night before, I missed that. It was just a spike.
Mm-hmm.
The doe came in. I'm like, all right, buck's going to come in behind her. Twinkle Toes came running up behind
Twinkle
her.
Twinkle Toes.
Little spike. He stopped. It was my first year hunting. I'm like, oh, shit.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Deer's a deer.
I'll do it.
Nope.
Yeah. Shot it. I think I went under that one.
Yeah. You always feel better about the clean misses, though, than you do
oh
the...
Oh, yeah.
I called Bert. I'm like, I got a rough shot. One root over. Went down there, looked. I'm like, yeah, never mind. No, I didn't. That but, sound I heard, he's like, you'll hear it. You'll hear it. Right. I've never done it before, so I thought I heard it, and... I'm hunting over this watering hole and it's full of sand and, you know, shit like that. Yeah, so
just arrow
it was
the
hitting the wet sand and
yeah, it's more of a smack.
Wasn't that sound? Yep.
Yeah.
Once I heard the sound, then I knew the sound.
Right.
And that, yeah.
But then I shot because of the range issue. I didn't want to shoot under that 8 point when he came in the very next night and I shot over it.
Yeah.
Luckily, it was far enough over it that the sumbitch just turned around in a circle and came right back.
He was a silly old
and
boy.
Gave me another chance to
we're looking
take
at
a shot
right
at him.
Fucking hey.
He was probably, what, 2.5, you think?
Yeah, he's 2.5 old, bud. And that's the thing about bow hunting, though, man. It's like you're looking at the violence right in the old hairy eyeball sometimes. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like yeah.
And the part that's so frustrating and disappointing about it is the part that is so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes it such a thrill because you have a less... You know, chance of missing. I've never missed one with a gun.
You do have to be a lot more
point,
careful
click,
with
boom,
a bow.
There it goes.
Yeah. With a gun, you could, you know.
There's a lot of variables.
You find the front shoulder on a deer and you blow out the front shoulder. They're not going to run anywhere. They might not die right away.
Ethan shot with a gun, dead.
Yeah.
All day long.
Yeah.
It just sucks. It's just part of bow hunting.
Yeah.
I mean, it just is. I mean, you like to think you're going to go out there and every shot's going to be a clean, ethical kill. But everybody knows, everybody listening to this that does bow hunt. If it hasn't happened to you yet, it's going to.
Yeah.
Something always happens. Like Bo said, you always have the unseen twig, or he takes that step right before you hit mm-hmm. the fucking release, or, you know, he jumps the string, or you bump your sight on the way in.
Right.
And then, unfortunately, you know, in the case of, like, Ethan, you know, he hit that thing, and it's going to live, and it's going to be fine, but you feel terrible. I mean,
sure.
you just...
Yeah.
Stuck that animal with a goddamn arrow and
you went out with full intentions to actually harvest the animal and then you make a bad shot for whatever reason. You know, there's a multitude of reasons that a lot of things could happen, but it never makes you feel better when something like that does happen. You know, you can justify it.
If you don't feel bad about it, you probably shouldn't be hunting.
Yeah. You can justify it 10 different ways, but at the end of the day, if you make a bad shot, you make a bad shot. You know, it's ultimately on the person that lets the arrow go. Regardless of if the deer takes a step, you know, maybe you should have waited till that deer took that step before you let the arrow go.
Like Ray just said something that I totally agree with. I mean, if you don't feel bad, maybe you should just hang it up, not go back out.
Right.
Because, I mean, that shit weighs on me heavy when that happens. Like, I lose sleep over that shit. It just sucks. It's a shitty feeling. Not only because you fucked up your opportunity, because a lot of times, you know, especially bow hunting, you've had hours already in the stand.
Yeah.
So many, you know, X amount of sits, and then you finally get your opportunity and you blow it sometimes, mm-hmm. just for whatever reason, like we said. And then, like, no, so you feel shitty any, about yeah, that.
You don't have meat to take home to mama, and yeah. you might have maimed
yeah.
the poor prick.
Right.
So, I mean, it fucking sucks. So if you can get back in your truck and be like, ah, well, I'll get him next time. Like, maybe there shouldn't be a next time, bud.
Yeah.
But that being said, you know, if it does bother you, you're not a psycho. Congratulations. But you do have to kind of shake it off and just get ready for the next yeah, play.
Get back out there.
You know?
Yeah. Not a full-blown sociopath.
You do have a heart.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me to miss a deer, but it really hurts my feelings when I miss the people I shoot at.
I can't wait for you to start bow hunting, buddy.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
When we come in here, we got all these stories.
I'm going to be really good at it, though.
I'm
not good. Like, yeah, I shot at one last night. Now it's hanging up.
You probably will, too, though, because, I mean, the advantage that you have more than anybody else is the broadhead that you're shooting is probably, you know, a third of the size of the deer that you're shooting at.
This is true. Yeah. Yeah.
So a miss for you would probably still cut a deer in half.
that was a good slow burn.
I shoot the guillotine broadhead. It's not just for turkeys anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know I give you so much shit, but I was sitting in a stand the other day, and only one deer that came out was this little doe comes yeah. up, and it's you could tell it smelled me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I did something wrong. You know, it could smell me. It never looked up and saw me or anything like that, but it was looking around, sniffing the air. And
you could tell she knew that you were there.
Itching its ear, and you know, but it was cute. And I'm like, I bet Adam would have smoked that already.
It's a good possibility.
And I was wondering if Al would have, if my brother would have, because my brother hasn't gotten a deer yet. He's been hunting, was last year's first year hunting?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I believe so. So he didn't have an opportunity at all.
Right.
So he's, you know, chomping at the bit for an opportunity.
Right. Well, that's my thing.
We talk about hunters, and he says he's not a hunter because he hasn't killed anything yet. We're like, well, it's hunting is not killing.
Exactly.
You're not a killer, but
they don't call it catching. They call it fishing. They don't call it killing. They call it hunting.
Like a lot of guys, I mean, you hear they went years and years and years without, I mean.
I went a long time.
A lot of them were started
killing any deer.
A lot younger than 40 years old. Yeah, but
absolutely.
It was five years
of bow hunting. I mean, you learn. We're so behind the curve on learning everything.
And that's why I don't feel bad. Like, if I get a chance to kill a deer, it doesn't have to be a trophy animal. It doesn't have to be the biggest deer in the woods. It's meat in my freezer. You know, I have a very limited time to hunt, usually. So what happens is, when I get a chance to kill a deer, I kill a deer. You know, I'll take the bigger of the two if there's two out there. 2 years ago, I shot a real nice doe, a real big doe.
Oh, yeah.
And that, you know, that was fine, but it's weird to say I don't care, but it doesn't bother me to kill a small deer. It doesn't. Because guess what? There's plenty of other deer out there. That's why we have the DNR doing their job. That's why everybody else passes up the little deer so I can shoot them, you know.
Poor guy shoots one small deer and we give him shit for years.
No, it's been two small deer. Okay. One was just really small.
And I want everybody that's listening to this to know that we really don't give a shit that you shot a small deer.
No, we really don't.
Shit about it.
Right. That's what we do. We just talk shit.
Well, maybe this year I'll shoot a monster deer and I'll give you guys shit about it. We'll see.
And time every time we start to say something.
Right.
Remember that time.
You remember.
We'll just unzip and flop it out on the table. Wow.
That had some bass to it.
Anyway. You're damn right it did.
With a mustache, never mind.
Never mind.
Yeah. So, that was great. And I get to rifle hunt for the first time.
Are you bringing the AR?
No, I am not.
That'd be awesome, though.
I don't know.
What are you hunting with?
It's kind of because, I mean, the funny thing is, I can go buy 20-round magazines all day long for my AR-10. And they're less than $20 a pop. I'm looking to get a 5-round magazine, so it's legal to hunt with.
Right.
And they're $35 a pop.
Eesh.
And I'm like, shit.
No.
I'm like, you know what? I happen to have a younger brother that has a Savage bolt action 308.
Same caliber.
With a $1,200 scope on it. And I have a $300 scope on AR.
Right.
I'm like, hey, Al. Mind if I borrow these? Like, take it.
That's awesome.
So I'm taking his.
Man, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I was really looking forward to you busting out that AR-10, though. And just seeing the look on everybody's face.
Their faces.
Right. Because it would be game over with that fucking thing.
That's a bad bitch.
I might take it up there.
Just a
screw with them. And
well, because we're going to, we can have this conversation off mic, but I got to shoot up there anyway.
If they want to shoot it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't know, every time I do that, I end up blowing through a bunch of rounds, and then I'm like, shit. But it's like, yeah, it was fun. I'm like, yeah. You know how much a box of 20 rounds costs?
For you. For you, it was fun. Yeah. Right.
I want to go back on this, the Al situation real quick, though, if you don't mind. Like, about him, like, if he was to shoot a little deer, like, if no matter who you are, if you get excited about shooting whatever size fucking deer, do it.
That's
man.
All that matters.
Yeah. If how it you makes feel. You happy, yep. Fuck everybody else.
Sing it.
Seriously, I mean.
That's how I've always operated.
If you're doing it legally, you have a tag. I mean, who right, are you to say?
Right. As long as you can tag the deer, you know,
I would've.
You're all not right. Out poaching.
Yeah. Well, let him hunt your stand instead of exactly. You know, the half acre he has to hunt. He's don't doing ever, what he can with what he has.
Don't ever feel bad for anybody giving you shit about shooting a small deer, because it's not up to them to tell you what you can or can't shoot. It's up to you to make the decision in the stand as a responsible hunter. You do what you feel comfortable with, and if it's shooting a small deer, so be it. You know, maybe you'll shoot three or four small deer before you'll get a chance at a big deer. If you try it long enough, you're going to get a chance to shoot a decent sized deer, and it's not going to be the biggest buck in the woods, but it might be a nice doe. It might be a decent sized buck. You know, it's not the size of the deer that matters. It's that you responsibly harvested the animal.
I'm sure Corey can relate to this, but it's one of them things. Like I think like. I'm sure Al's in the same boat. You know, once you get that first one, I think you just put yourself at ease a little bit. You know what I mean? Like you relax a little bit more when you're out there. I think.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense,
it makes you more comfortable.
Because even this year, before I shot that doe, like since then, it's like I'm enjoying myself a lot more out in the woods because I already have one in the back. Because even just for the season, freaking out because I haven't got one yet. Right. You know. And I blew the opportunity underneath my tree stand or whatever. So like am I going to get another one? Was that it? Is that all I'm going to get? You know? So when you have so many sits, especially if you have never shot a deer before, and then, you know, the first opportunity you get is a small deer. If it makes you happy, man,
do it.
Pull that trigger. I ain't going to say shit. I give you shit.
Well, it's fine. I don't. It doesn't really bother me either. It's, you know, I've always maintained that I will shoot a small deer this year. I don't care. But guess what? I'm going to eat small.
But how many of those have you missed or lost?
I've only ever lost one deer, and that's why I haven't ever shot that many. Because the fear for me has always been, if I don't have the absolute perfect shot on an animal, I'm not going to take that shot. You know, I lost my first spike. I told you guys about that before. And that has always stuck with me. And that was when I was in a youth hunt. You know, it wasn't even like a real world deer hunt. And then I went out a couple years later and shot my first buck. And it was a 10-point with a smoothbore shotgun that was running 75 yards away from me, you know. And I made a great shot on that twice and then dumped the rest of my gun in the back of its neck when I ran up on it because I didn't want to lose it. But It's not about the size of the deer that you shoot. It's about being out there in the woods and enjoying the hunt, enjoying the pursuit of the animal to begin with. Maybe some people will give you a hard time for shooting a smaller deer, but maybe those people don't shoot any deer
right.
Because they're after a big deer, and you're okay with taking a small deer and actually eating backstrap for New Year's Eve or, you know, yeah. Deer heart for Christmas.
Yeah,
it's deer heart if for
you
Christmas.
Look at it like that, where is the conservation in that if you don't?
Right.
And do you remember this being a thing before social media, though? I don't.
No.
That changes the world.
No,
everything.
And that's part of me not being on social media is it doesn't bother me to tell people that I shoot a small deer because I don't have to put up with, like, John Q. Public giving me shit for shooting a small deer. I don't care. You know, it doesn't bother me if a bunch of people decided to get on and give me a hard time about it. That wouldn't change my opinion about what I did. I'm confident in the deer that I take when I take the shot. Otherwise, I wouldn't take the shot. You know, if I wasn't okay with taking that particular animal, big or small, I wouldn't do it.
If the one thing that irritates me the most is on social media when a guy posts, even if it's not even his, you know, like his kid just shot his first deer, first buck, whatever. They put it on there, and then you always have some jackass every fucking time.
Yeah.
Ah, man, if he could have just waited on that buck, don't think of how big he would have been, you know?
Yeah, yeah, because
really, you let him
expert.
Shoot a button buck? What'd you do that for, you know? Dumbass.
Right.
Taking out all the does. It's like you can't. that it just before social media, it was like you shot a deer, you had your friends, your family over,
right?
You drink beer in the garage and you celebrated. I mean, that's just all it was. There was no social media dick measuring contest every time.
I remember my dad's buddy shooting a lot of small bucks, you know, and it wasn't on purpose. They weren't going out just targeting small bucks, but at some point in your season, what if you don't see any other deer? You better kill the one that you see so you got meat in the freezer.
Which is precisely why I did exactly what Ray did and used my restricted tag on my doe. So now I'm saving that one tag for down here because my favorite time to hunt is when we come back from up north and I have that whole week off from work after, like just before Thanksgiving. The hunting is fucking phenomenal in both of my spots, you know.
And it's really huge. Oh, sorry.
I'm just saying I always save that one tag. I love to have that tag for the big one. But you start getting closer to Thanksgiving, and then after Thanksgiving, the rut starts to wind out a little bit. Like, maybe I'm shooting the next antler deer I see.
There you go.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, shit. What the hell was I going to say?
You said it's really big. It's
really huge when you're doing it with friends and family, too, because it's more to it than just, you know, you targeting this buck or whatever, because you don't know how many memories you're going to get to share with said family member or said friend.
Yeah.
So any memory that you can share with them is huge.
Just like we're going to be making a shit ton of memories up there at deer camp this year. Your first rough family deer camp, brother.
Yeah. Jesse, my cousin. One, you know, we're hanging out in the driveway drinking beer. And then, what, 3, 4, 5 months later, he's dead.
Yeah.
Right.
So I kind of... those small moments, you know, anytime I could spend with a family member or a friend.
Exactly. You know, I mean, that's
memories is huge to me.
That's why, you know, deer camp is so damn special to me, especially. I know it is to my brother and my dad, and I mean, it means a lot to all of us, but it's like I get so excited this time of year. Just, I mean, it's not only the one time I get to go and relax, I just get to spend some time with my brother, my dad. Right. You know, now my kid, and it's just us guys up there. We go up for the camaraderie and the shenanigans and the memories we make in the cabin more than we do
in the woods
outside the cabin.
Right.
You know,
deer hunting is just like the cherry on top of the sundae that you get to enjoy. Oh,
when the bodies start hitting the floor, it's even better, man. It's like, yeah.
Tell you what, make sure you guys wear gloves. You don't want to get any of that deer blood in your system. Have to go to the clinic. Circling back to what we started talking about. Right. I was going to ask, did that dentist not wear gloves? Was that? Or maybe Boston?
I don't know if it cut through it. I don't know.
Bit through the glove?
I'm glad I wasn't there.
Yeah, no kidding.
The dentist is probably glad I was there.
Yeah, he's probably, never mind, bleeding his own fucking mouth. But yeah, so I am predicting that there are going to be, I'm going to say it, multiple bucks on the rough family buck pull this year at deer camp.
Yeah.
We are hunting, so it's a full moon on the 12th. Opening day is the 15th.
Right.
So can we talk about the solar activity for a quick second? I don't know a lot about it. I think, Adam, you know more about it than I do.
A little bit.
I've recently just started checking into it. What?
I was wondering about taking my bow up there.
Hunting.
Ooh. And having a couple hanging by the time the mother pricks show up.
Ooh. You know what's funny? I think we should, bro. You know what I think we should do? I think Tuesday when we get there, my original plan was to hit, like, unpack, me and you, grab some water or beer, whatever, throw in a bag.
Let's go.
Right.
Watery beer, who cares?
Get on foot and just start hoofing it. There's a spot where I want to go. We should walk out there, set up our blind, and then we should hunt with our bows out of that blind that day.
I think so, especially out there.
Yeah.
I mean, you might as well. What do we got to lose?
Well, because it sounds like there's already snow up there, which is a big plus.
Yeah.
Not just because, you know, it's cold, but the snow adds a lot of contrast to the woods. It's a lot easier to see shit moving. And like I said, the
tracks, the pattern.
The full moon. So apparently what happens with the full moon is a couple days leading up to the full moon, the moon rises earlier.
Yeah.
And it's in the sky during daylight hours, which apparently makes the deer move more in the evening a couple days before full moon. A couple days after full moon, it's the exact same thing, only in the morning. So the morning activity is huge, which is opening morning, the 15th, 3 days after the full moon.
Because the moon stays up. the deer get triggered by the moon. It's
my Uncle Billy Ray said don't have so much to do with the deer and the moon, but they just can't sleep because them coyotes and shit are out there howling all night and they can't sleep, so they just got to keep wandering around trying to find a quiet place to sleep.
You're probably right.
Trying to find a warm glass of milk.
You're probably right. I don't know. I'm no scientist.
I think he went to school with water boys, mom.
I've always known that hunting a full moon is can be an advantageous thing and also a detrimental thing. It depends on how you hunt. Like you said, a couple days before the full moon hits, the deer tend to be up moving earlier. You want to be like, those are the days you want to sit all day.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never know when that deer is going to get up and move. A couple days after the full moon, and it might be a day or two after, it might be a week after, that with that moon still hanging around in the morning, they're going to get up earlier and they're going to move around more in the morning time until that moon goes away. For some reason, the moon has that sort of effect on them. I don't know what it is. Other than watching the solar tables for the last couple of years, I can tell you that every day, the peak time that you want to be in the woods changes by like 20 minutes or so based on the moon phase. Based on what the moon's doing, whether it's a full moon at night or a moon in the morning or a moon in the evening that you can see until it gets dark, you know, everything reacts differently to the solar tables. And it's not just hunting, it's fishing too.
Everything, yeah. I mean, it's surprisingly complicated because why? You know, is it because of the amount of light? Or is it because of, like, you know, why emergency rooms are crazy busy on full moons?
I think that has something to do with it.
People just lose their fucking minds or what?
Well, yeah, they call it lunacy, right? I'm serious. They used to call them lunatics, the people that were affected by the moon.
That's a real deep thing to say.
Well, it's a true statement. That's why I'm saying it. But there's I use a solar calendar on my phone, which I've been dialing in the last couple of years. You enter the zip code and you put in your city or whatever, and it gives you the peak time and the major and minor time is what they call it. And the minor time is good to be out in, but the major time undoubtedly in the last couple of years has been where I've seen most of the action. And if it's not deer, it's squirrels, it's possums, it's raccoons, it's animals.
That's what I heard.
Damn it.
Well, no, just but no, you were definitely
balls.
I mean, I'm now a believer. I mean, I never really paid much attention. Like, I knew when it was a full moon, like, in or around close to a full moon, I've had a lot of good hunts.
Right.
I never really picked up on, was it in the morning, was it in the evening, was this, you know, how many days past the full moon, but...
And honestly, just being out there, like, is the best thing you can do, because I've had, it'll tell you on the Solar Table website, the times that they list are plus or minus an hour or so. You know, it's not an exact time, it's a guesstimate. Based on how things have been in the past. It's kind of like the Farmer's Almanac, but it's a lot more accurate.
Right.
As far as hunting goes.
The reason is because the last full moon in October, we hunted our asses off that. We've been hunting our asses off all October, really. But the last full moon, a couple days after, just that whole weekend was just on fire. Bucks. And that was when we saw... The one and only mature buck we've seen all season was out around that time. Right. Never got a shot at him, but yeah. So like I'm excited, and the thing is, opening day of gun season is like your best opportunity, especially when you're hunting near or around public land. It's your best opportunity to get on an animal, because after opening day, your chances start to go down pretty drastically.
Opening day, bets go out the window on opening day.
Fuckers.
I was explaining to the boys, I said, you know, Ethan and Evan, I said, I can't wait for you guys to experience your first opening day. Because, you know, the opening day and gun season down here, I'm usually up north. So they don't even hunt until I get back.
That sucks. Oh, no.
Well, because in years past, it was, you know, they were 13, 14. Yeah. They're a little too old. Young. They're old enough now. But, you know, but they just kind of stick to tradition. They just wait till their old man gets back. But you know, they always just kind of hang out.
Yeah, and Bert's like, you better not go out there without me.
Right. You go out and mess up my spot. No, I kill you.
No, nowadays, I mean, they're old enough. I encourage them to get out there. But, you know, they love me, I guess. I don't know. But
somebody's got to.
Right. God damn it. I said, I can't wait for you guys to experience your first opening day, though, because it's insane, especially up there. Down here, it's still a little bit different than it is. Because up there, it's like first light, you'll hear the distant.
Yeah.
Then about 5 minutes later, and they'll just, from a different direction, just all morning, you'll just start hearing all these gunshots, and you keep thinking, like, that's right.
Here they come.
Keep
here
pushing
they come.
Them this way.
That's right.
You know, it's just the whole experience is, even if you don't see any deer, it's like you come back in, everybody's cold, we make a big breakfast, you know, and then usually start drinking right after. And I can't wait, dude. I can't wait to get up there.
Even down here, I get excited. Like, I'll hear, and it's, like, let's say, legal shooting time, 7:15. At 7:10, I'll hear the first shot.
Mm-hmm.
It's always before the time you're supposed to shoot.
Yeah, there's always one jackass at, like, 6:30 in the morning. Boom!
Right. Right.
Hey, Dale, you okay? I'm sorry.
But then you hear, like,
Popsy? Are you... You all right?
I counted one year. I counted over 40 shots on opening morning from where I was sitting out off of Barren Lake Road, and that's ridiculous that you would hear that many shots out there. And a lot of it are people shooting at the same deer that they missed the first time. Then the deer come back because they're getting pushed back and forth and back and forth. That always makes me laugh when I can hear like one gun shoot five times.
That's
and
the
I know I'm like, oh,
firearm season is
you got that all, dude missed.
You got all them guys that only hunt with a shotgun. Right. Have no idea what they're doing. Their old man used to take a bucket and throw it out and sit, you know, and just hope something walks by, and then they see something and they're just with that old smooth bore.
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, and it's usually that fast too.
Yeah,
boom. Boom, 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 boom.
Is that you? Yeah, no, did you hit him? I don't know.
I do. Buckshot, slug, buckshot, slug.
Yeah, I've known people that load their guns like that. I'm like, that's ridiculous.
You guys want to hear something hilarious?
I'm shooting buckshot out of my rifle slug barrel.
Some people do.
Make sure you get close to that mic, buddy. I think I hit your thing, actually.
Tired of hearing me talk. I don't usually talk this much.
No, the cord turned it. But that's funny as hell, though, because Popsy used to actually load his shotgun like that, his smoothbore, slug, buckshot, slug, buckshot, slug. And like now you guys just brought it up and now I'm thinking about it, like, that's like hilarious because like you're planning on missing some deer, are you?
Yeah, that's so dangerous. Like
I hunt with a fucking muzzle loader, one shot.
Injured. Yeah.
Well, I loaded my turkey gun, turkey shot, then pheasant load in case I had to go clean one up, which I did. But I never ejected the second turkey round, and that made a mess.
Yeah, I bet it did.
Football size hole through the fucking turkey.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good time. Speaking of fucking turkeys, those little motherfuckers, I hope to God I end up shooting one this weekend because it's going to be my last opportunity because I can't shoot one up north. But God damn it. God damn it. I've been hunting for 20 years. The first 17 of those years, besides when I got in trouble and couldn't hunt, all those years out in them fucking woods, I had turkeys multiple times every season walk right by me, like teasing me, 10 yards, 5 yards, just shoot me. Just big rope draggers, you know what I mean? The last 3 years I bought tags, nothing. Yeah. Haven't got a goddamn shot. I've seen them, but I can't get a fucking shot.
Right.
So this year I got...
They can smell that turkey tag in your pocket.
Those motherfuckers.
You know what you need to do is just not buy a tag until after you kill a turkey.
Wait,
no, don't do that. Hang on a second. Legal no. Beagle. Who said that? Definitely don't do that.
So
it's a bad idea, folks.
Just wait. Technically, I guess you could. If you do it online, you could sit up in the tree stand and when they start coming in, be like, all right, now I'm going to get this. As long as you have a good data signal, you can make it happen.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Don't do that.
It's not recommended.
Don't
though.
Do that. Anyway, so yeah, dude, the last time I seen him, I actually remembered my call. They crested this hill. I knew where they were roosting. I actually forgot they were even there. And the morning came. They flew down. I'm like, oh, yeah. Tried to bring them in. Just doing some real basic, just some cuts, you know. Just make it a little bit of noise.
Probably don't react the same, do they?
Not even close. I was just trying to sound like just a bird out there just pecking, you know. Just trying to get them to kind of filter my way. And
maybe you shouldn't have. Maybe you should have done what you did the other 17
years.
Well,
they were going
there quiet waiting for a deer.
Well, they crested the other way. They crested the hill and started walking away. I did that. Two of them turned, and then the rest of them started to follow. And so I stopped. They came a little bit and then turned back the other direction, and then they stopped listening to me when I tried to do it again. So I'm like, fuck me.
You lost their interest.
Right, so... Like, you unattentive little mother. So, I was fucking pissed.
Goddamn
you have
got to
be shitting me. It was 9:15. We hadn't seen any deer yet. So, I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. The boys were nowhere near me. They were sitting in tree stands far enough away. I'm like, I'm getting out, and I'm going after these goddamn turkeys. So, I climb down. I start putting on this little mini stalk.
They went over this hill, and I knew it was pretty deep down there. So I'm like, I got time, and if I cut up right here, I should be able, as soon as I pop up over the hill, if I can draw fast enough, I should be able to get a shot at one of those toms. So I get all the way down there, and I start creeping up the hill. I'm like, all right, here we go. And I got my heart racing. I can hear the footsteps down there. I mean, they're there. And I get there, and I see a big black blob kind of across, and I thought that was a turkey, so I freeze. Oh, shit, that ain't a turkey. So as soon as I start to move again, a turkey's head pop up over the fucking hill. And then another one. Maybe 20 yards in front of me.
Okay, check this guy out.
Right. And they're just, and you know, the snood starts to shrink up and I'm like, you motherfuckers. And all I can see is their heads. What am I going to do? Like if I try to walk any closer or try to draw, they're going to fly away.
They already got you figured out.
I was screwed. They bolted out of there. I tried to cut them off a little bit farther down the trail. They weren't having any of that.
Right.
And I haven't seen them since. So, fuck. Fuck! Turkeys have pissed me off a lot more than all the deer have this
well
season.
Played, Bert. Well played.
Yeah, super. You know, some people were gatherers back in the day. You know, not everybody right. was a hunter.
Sure.
Hey, we're going to go hunting. Bert, go pick some berries. Make a basket first, and then go get some berries. And some flowers. Your mom wants some flowers.
Dig up some onions. We're going to gut you a buck.
So I was having a conversation with my brother the other day. We got in from hunting, and he's like, was that you doe bleating out there? I was like, yeah. He's like, maybe I should try that, because I was sitting in a tree stand at Popsy's. I was sitting in the death trap. I should have been sitting in my new stand, as it turns out. My brother had a view where a nice 2.5-fold buck came down and turned right into my stand, but he came down after I was doe bleating, just blind, you know, every so many minutes, right. 15, 20 minutes usually.
Just trying.
And he came down, caught on my, he called it a drip trail. It's not a fucking drip trail. I just, before I go out this time of year, I'll take a little bit of doe piss and put it on my boot.
Right.
Just in case a buck comes across where I did walk, instead of smelling me, he smells that and maybe he doesn't give a shit.
Hopefully.
Unless he's a mature buck, then usually they do and they get the fuck out of there. But anyway, it's worth a shot, right? Well, so he said he watched this buck come down from the bleat, got on my, quote, drip trail, which gets weaker as, you know, the farther out you go. So we got about where I turned in, milled around. I hit the bleat again, but at this point he was on the Tink 69, so he didn't give a shit. And then he ended up turning back and following the trail all the way back to Popsy's garden because it got, you know, stronger going that way.
Right.
But anyway, we got to talking about bleating, and she's like, maybe I should try that. He's like, because, you know, all I really ever do is the buck runs, because that's all I've ever heard him do in the wild. I've never heard a doe bleat.
Right.
Just start that. And that's, have you heard one bleat yet?
No.
I never.
Not even
have.
A little one?
No. No, I take that back. When you shoot a small doe, they will lay there and bleat heavily. They'll lay down and go, nah.
It's disturbing.
Yeah. It is. It's kind of. It gives you the goosebumps in a bad way, but it's what they do. But it's not the same, I think, as a breeding bleat.
No, yeah. I mean, just like what I do is I typically take my, depending on the call, but most grunt tubes, I'll take the little rubber band and put it on doe grunt.
Uh-huh.
And then I shorten up the tube and I hit it. I blow really hard and just kind of... Right. Basically, when you take those bleat cans and you turn it upside down,
right.
That is what they sound like.
Right.
Just a lot fucking louder. And that's why I like doing the doe bleats. One of the reasons is because the sound travels a lot farther,
right.
I think, than a little buck run. I do like buck runs for when they're in close, and I just need them to, you know, shift over about 20 yards or so. Right. But. I love the doe bleats, man. I've had a lot of success with that because he's like, I've never used it.
Huh.
So if you're going to use it, now is the time to do it. I wouldn't push it too much during October. I'd do it, but like I said, I put it on doe grunt. And in October, I don't blow on the grunt tube quite as hard and don't make it seem quite as extreme. It's more of like a doe looking for a fawn or another doe.
Right.
Like they got separated by something and they're trying to find each other again. And then you got some horny buck crossing through that's like,
I'll help you find your kid.
Right. Right.
Well, here, let me help you.
Hold my hand.
So that's my thought.
That's not your hand.
And then this time of year when the rut's really picking up, the buck's being so fucking horny and the doe's not being ready, in my head, I would think that every buck would want to investigate every single doe that they come across. Every single doe, just to check and see if she's hot.
You would think so.
So if they hear that, big, small, it shouldn't matter, I would think that they're going to come check it out at least.
Right.
And then once you get him close, then you can start finessing him a little bit. But yeah, I love using it this time of year. I fucking love it.
The difference is this year you can't use shelled corn or tinks.
You can use tinks.
Tinks is approved.
Because it's ATA approved.
ATA. I was trying to think of who. What was the...
Really? So you're allowed to use doe?
Yes.
And heat urine?
As long as it's ATA approved.
So, okay, and then me and my dad were talking about that, and I think what they're trying to avoid, Chris Reynolds, I'm pretty sure you listen to this, Mr. Michiana Monsters, he put a video, he hunts in Indiana, he put a video on a couple weeks ago, his kid, I think, him or his kid shot a nice buck, real nice buck. But he put a video of him putting this like syringe type deal into the bladder and sucking out the piss. And then he's putting it, bottling it. And he uses it for mock scrapes and shit. I think that's what the DNR is trying to avoid, because that's how you're spreading. If they have chronic wasting disease, you're spreading it.
Right. If it's ATA approved, everything that they're pulling, they're getting tested before they put it in the bottles.
And it's all good and sterile.
Put it on the shelf.
These are, those are all farm raised deer that they're all tested and all that good jazz. I would say, not sterilized, but vaccinated, but you can't vaccinate for CWD.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, anyway, that's what they're trying to avoid there. But actually, I've seen him doing that, and I was like, I wish we could do that, because that's actually a brilliant idea. You know, I just shot that doe. She wasn't in heat, but it'd still be nice to have a bottle of actual, you know, doe piss from a couple days ago to spread out there or whatever.
Well, right, you're like me. Usually when we shoot a doe, we just cut the bladder open and kind of bathe in it. Take a quick drink out of it.
Sprinkle some on your mustache.
Mm-hmm. All over my body, yeah. I'll take all my hunting clothes off, because...
I'm sorry, before I forget to ask this. When you hunt, do you do any calling?
Yeah.
Do you do?
I grunt, usually.
Just...
And I don't grunt, like, every 20 minutes. I'll grunt... if I'm bored, if I've been there for an hour, I'll throw a couple grunts out just to see if there's anything by, if anything responds to it. But that's usually it. I don't do a lot of doe bleats. Normally, it's by the time I get out to hunt, the rut is either already in full swing or kind of starting to wind down a little bit. So I'll just gently grunt and see if anybody wants to answer it. See if anybody still has the moxie to come in.
You hunt an opening day this year?
Yeah.
So this year,
I literally have nothing to lose this year, so that should be fine.
And my cadence, personally, is I do it, you know, once, count to five, sometimes 10, then do it again, and then I let it sit for, you know, just see what comes in for a little while, if nothing, 10 minutes later, just give it another one. I'm picturing a buck walking with his nose down on the trail of a doe. Somewhere where I can't see him and with an earshot, and then I do that, and he's like, ooh, she's over here.
Right.
And then he's going to come in. I was speaking of deer with their nose to the ground. So after talking with Bo, I remember he was talking about how frost kind of locks in all that scent.
Mm-hmm.
Got me really looking forward to Saturday morning, because that's going to be our first really hard frost. I think this morning, I think we had one.
Yeah. Today was... as cold as it's been this year.
It was, 32 this morning? So it was right at freezing. But I think Saturday morning it's supposed to be 22 or 23.
I thought this morning it was like 28, 27.
It might have been. I didn't know.
Yeah.
So I told her, I'm like, yeah. I went out last night. I'm like, this is probably it. Because I don't want to get something so close to leaving. I'm like, F that. After today, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to hunt all the way up to leaving.
Might as well.
Yeah, I was out doing leaves today for a lady.
Like, it'll be cold enough to let it hang for a week.
They're going to be fine, man.
And yeah, all day it was so cold. I'm looking around like there's not even supposed to be deer in this area, but I'm just primed up. Like, it's so cold right now that these deer have to be moving. They have to be.
And I'm in a pickle, dude, because that shit happened with Ethan where we had to call Bo out to track. Right. And, you know, we put our scent
everywhere.
And we haven't had rain or anything since. So I'm wondering if it's too soon to head back out there, because I'd like, when I come back from up north, I would love it for just everything be nice and settled. And
I don't know, because when you and Bobby were already out there, you called me. Remember, I came up and I jumped the doe. Mm-hmm. And then when we traced, we went down to where they were bedding to see if it went back there.
In the thicket, I had that one stand blood, like 10 yards from me.
And I jumped two of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but those are the does, you know, the youngins and shit. But I'm thinking as far as like mature bucks.
Oh, for sure.
And that's what me and Evan are both going after. And by the way, Evan, if you listen to this, I am very proud of you. He's held out all season long, and we talk about Evan quite a bit on this show. I mean, he's not exactly one that's known for his display of patience.
Yeah,
but he's done very well. He's passed on every small buck he's had in front of him. A couple of them would have filled his restricted tag, and he still hasn't shot. Because he wants his big one.
Right.
He's never shot a wall hanger, and that's his goal. So, so that's what we're after. And I think after what we just did, I think it's going to be a little bit. So I'd rather just back the hell off out of there. And then at Popsies is weird. So typically this time of year, I'm not out there. Like the week before we go up north, I usually have one already in the freezer, like I do now. And I just don't go because I want it to be pristine when I come back.
Right.
I want it because the bucks we're hunting out there they're only there for the does. We're not hunting a food plot. They might bed close to where we're at. From what our trail cam evidence over the years suggests that they don't during the fall. Right. They're bedding, the big bucks are bedding somewhere else. So they're really only there chasing the pussy. So I'd rather keep the pussy there and not scare it away the week before going out and getting busted doing dumb shit, walking in.
Right.
You know, or walking out, or, you know, like the other day.
Being there. People talk about pressure. I mean,
pressure influences movement.
Yeah, they pattern you.
Yeah, you're educating an animal every time you step foot in those woods. Right.
Every time a doe blows at you, you know, makes your scent, makes your trail, makes you in the woods.
They're probably a little bit better at it than you are. I don't care who you are.
Right. Speaking of which, I don't know why that reminded me of this. I mean, it is on topic, but scent keys. Pick up your scent keys. That animal, that buck, is going to walk up, smell that scent key, and realize, oh, it's not a hot doe. It's this thing that kind of smells like people, too. And guess what's not going to fall for it again? You know?
Yeah.
Most likely. I can't say never, but, I mean, it's because the dude that's hunting the neighboring property out there at Evan's uncle's, while we were tracking, he was actually in his blind. We ran into him. Super nice guy. Don't think he knew what the hell he was doing. Kind of. He's hunting 15 yards away from a scrape. From the ground. On a ground blind. Like a tent. Like I'm thinking like, oh, good for you, man. You set that thing up and like the deer made the scrape by your blind.
Right.
It sounds like from after talking to the dude he put the damn blind
in a lane.
In the lane, 15 yards from the scrape.
Wow. Not in the woods.
With scent keys all the way around
in the middle of the
that he leaves up.
Well, that's fine. I mean, no. And maybe it'll work for him.
I doubt it, but, you know. Anyway, just don't do that.
Yeah.
Just grab your scent
keys. I don't think so, but maybe it will. Who knows?
Right. I don't know. I think that's... do we have anything else we really want to talk about?
Should we bring up the bait ban? Because there's a lot of back and forth, people online saying the bait ban's been lifted and it hasn't.
Has not. It's up for consideration, correct?
I heard that it was up for consideration. I also heard that it was lifted, but I didn't hear anything concrete.
Lifting the bait ban is up for consideration.
Right.
Right.
Just to clarify.
I think the legislation passed, but it's not in the law yet.
Yeah, and you definitely don't want to chance it.
Exactly.
Well, what's scary is the people that just read the headlines on Facebook, you know, the article says, baiting ban reversed in Michigan, or basically made it sound like you could just go out and start throwing corn all over the damn place.
So yeah, guys are arguing at work and shit about it, you know, oh no, it's set here.
No, don't.
Right.
Don't.
Don't take anybody's word for anything. Read up.
Guess who's not going to give a shit about your excuses about I heard it from whoever.
DNR.
Yes, I was going to say if you're not sure about anything, check your local, your state DNR website and they will tell you. And they have posted quite a few posts about it. I think there's 3 posts on there.
That
it has not been lifted.
My general rule is if you can pick up the book from wherever you buy your license from and it doesn't say in the book exactly what you want to hear, that's probably not how it's going to be then, you know. 3 people online saying that, oh yeah, the baiting ban's been reversed, doesn't make up for the fact that in the book it's written down that there's still a baiting ban, and it's indefinite until they tell you otherwise. If they update the book, or if you get on the website and there's an update saying, oh, by the way, you can use bait now, which there's not, I wouldn't trust it. Mm-mm. It's not worth getting hemmed up over.
At all.
You know?
No. Absolutely not. And I mean, in most cases, not everybody's hunting a little tiny parcel either. I mean, in most cases, you're going to be able to hang a stand in a travel corridor or somewhere where they're moving anyway. Right. You don't need bait. I hunted bait over, you know, hunted over bait for many years in my younger years, but there's nothing wrong with it. You know, other states to do it, if that's what you want to do, go ahead. I don't know. I got to the point to where if you want to shoot a big buck, I don't think you're going to shoot it over a damn bait pile. But then again, you shot yours coming into that damn bait pile.
After the rut.
It all depends on the conditions, you know, the weather, where your food's set up and this and that. But I've shot deer over bait before, but I've shot a lot more deer not over bait.
Yeah.
So
I don't want to sound like a damn expert. Like, I go out and I shoot giant bucks every year. I mean, I've shot a few decent sized bucks.
They
do, bucks,
they just don't find them.
Right.
Oh, damn. That's late shade. It's already dark out and it's getting fucking darker in here. Look at that.
God damn it. Oh, well.
You were saying?
I forgot.
Good plan.
Right. Well, Buck, this is the last time we're going to be in here, boys, until December. You listeners get to look forward to a, quote, best of. When I say best of, it just means some shit that I thought was pretty cool.
Funny stuff that makes up a whole episode now.
Funny stuff. There's a lot. Mike Ellis made it on there. Some of his stories. Kennedy. Ryan Ray's on there a little bit. Coon. Jeff Sinner. I just took a bunch of our good stuff from this past year and just kind of made a big collage for you guys. I think we're pushing like an hour and a half or something on there, so it should be a decent one. No, so anyway, you guys got that to look forward to, and then obviously the Rough Family Deer Camp episode, which is going to be a little different. We're not doing 7 fucking microphones this year. There's going to be 10 people, and we're going to use these 4 microphones. So that's going to be different. The sound quality might be kind of shoddy, but
yeah.
I'm sure with Corey and my Popsy and Bobby, Mikey, and us, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be an awesome episode.
It should be a good time. I'll be taking a break.
We're
going to
miss you, buddy.
Couple weeks. Yeah, I'm going
to
say.
We'd invite you, but we're kind of full.
I don't. I've got my own stuff to do. I'd love to go, but I can't. There's no way right now I could swing that with.
Too busy killing button bucks on opening day.
Maybe. I'll let you know. I'll send you a picture.
There we go.
Two thumbs up,
with
bud.
You holding it like a baby.
No, I'll put my fingers behind its buttons, and I'll just hold up my thumbs like they're spikes.
There you go.
Hold the ears and keep my thumbs up.
Hell yeah.
I got a plan. Fuck them.
This was drinking beer and talking Spartan. I think we only drank 2 beers. Man, we're getting.
I had 3.
I'm about to have another one. I know that. As soon as
we
shut
this bitch
off.
I'm getting crazy.
Yeah. You know what we do?
Normally about this time, I probably would have had about 8 or 9 of them
before we shut this off. That I almost forgot all about, boys and girls.
Uh-oh.
We have to do ad read.
Ooh. Yes, we do.
That was close. So we're going to have to keep going for a few more minutes. Because, like, so now we have to follow Bobby on the goddamn ad read, which is going to be difficult.
Where did it go? The worst part is, let me get a beer.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to pause this.
Freshen up a little bit here.
Okay. We are back from the pee break. Adam's calling in some bucks.
That's right.
All right. We're back from our pee break. And so here's the deal, guys. Is that your ass?
I was waiting for, like, I thought he was playing Jingle Bells.
Between football seasons, the NBA, and the start of college basketball season, it's time to get off the sidelines and get into the action with my bookie.
Yeah.
Was that good, like Bobby?
Yeah.
No,
into
the, kinda,
into
like
the
a gay
action.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Damn it. Well, I got another line. Maybe this one will be better. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together.
You know, start this whole shit over.
I don't know how many people bet on sports, but if you're going to bet this season, you should probably be smart about it, do the right thing. Go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win than them. Nobody.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal.
Hell yeah. And if you're tired of watching the games from the couch with nothing to gain, mybookie wants to get your mind off everything else and back on the game. If you join right now, mybookie will match your deposit halfway.
all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. So that's $3,000. If you put in two, they give you one. If you put in one, they give you $500.
Do you have a promo code for that? Or?
So just use promo code LATEFEES to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LATEFEES to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie's.ag today. You play, you win, you get fucking paid.
Damn right.
That's tough, boys. I'm not as good as Bob. We're going to have to practice at those. I'm not a good, like, reader out louder. Well,
but
you good we're going to have a problem here.
I feel like you, Mr. Not Talker Out Louder. I don't know. Whatever. I'll shut up.
No, continue, because
I don't want to do, like, the radio voice shit.
I don't either.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That's why I want you to do in your Russian accent, because I think that'll be entertaining.
The fucking guy
as fuck
that I thought was going to have a fucking heart attack every time he was on the fucking infomercial, and he eventually did die from the shit. Pow! Yeah, if you had no! Yeah. You can get 2 gallons of Flex Steel for the price of one!
Oh.
I don't want to be that guy.
That guy died?
The first guy, yeah. They got a new guy. Everybody forgot about the old guy that died. They probably covered his casket in fucking Flex Seal or something.
Oh, that was the guy, Billy, or what was his name? Billy, yeah. Or whatever? He died from a cocaine overdose on an airplane.
Cover his fucking coffin, like, in Flex Seal.
Yeah, and it was their fault. All advertising.
Yeah.
We need you to act a little more excited.
Right.
Nope, that wasn't good enough. That wasn't it either. A little more excited.
You know what?
Come on, a little more enthusiasm. A little,
take this
finally, he's
or
like,
Coke.
All right. Hey! Yeah, right! Yeah! And they fucking died.
I'm Billy Mays, and I'm going to exterminate all your animals and give you some Flex Seal in the meantime. You guys like boats? Fucking build a boat out of Flex Seal.
Have you ever made a boat out of a screen door?
Maybe if you're kind of guy, you know, look like a bet a little.
See?
Win a lot. Yeah, you should try the parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of favors this week, parlays are perfect. Just let you bet the multiple games together for a much bigger payoff. You get to play, you're not sure about bets. You play a couple bets, 3 bets, 4 bets. You know, however many bets you feel comfortable playing bets. And you win money.
Like, now we're going to have Ivan read the goddamn ad reads. Ivan goes to mybookie.ag.
And he thinks that his bookie says that you should too. Don't break your fucking knees.
What's going to be awesome is my bookie's going to send us a personal email saying, please don't ever do our ass
again. So uncomfortable right now.
You ain't getting no money for that. You're paying.
Okay. We literally have no idea what the fuck had just happened. I happened to glance over and realized our computer was having some sort of issue, and then
it shut down.
Goddamn moon phase.
Right now. Maybe. I don't know. I've never seen a computer shut down so fast without even asking you if it was okay to do so. It was just, oh, fuck
right.
You.
Your computer's rude.
I'm offended. I feel fucking violated.
Better give it a talking to, a stern talking to.
My feelings are hurt.
Son of a bitch.
So bad.
But I guess that's a sign that we should probably close it out. Yeah, don't forget to go to mybookie.com.ag. To bet, and also go to YouTube and check out Ryan Ray. He has his own YouTube channel now. If you guys remember him a couple episodes back, middle of October somewhere, he came on. He's the trapper, big bow hunter, big shed hunter, mushroom hunter. Just awesome dude. Right. Go check out his YouTube channel, especially if you want to get in some trapping. That's what it's all about. It's awesome. So even if you're not, share it. Somebody on your timeline might be into it. So support him.
That's mybookie.ag.
Did
I
say
swear
it wrong?
You said that wrong. I think you said mybookie.com.ag. Just to clear that up. Mm-hmm. That's all I got.
And don't listen to me. Listen to Ivan over there.
And we might have some fun with these in the future.
Yeah. You guys are going to have fun with these ads.
We're so unprepared.
I know.
Thank you guys for listening.
Thanks for sticking it out with us.
Right.
All right, everybody. We'll talk to you later. All right, that is a wrap. So next week, you guys get to hear the inside of the Rough Family Deer Camp. Should be a fairly entertaining episode.
Yeah, might have to call it Drunken Stupor, something along those lines.
Maybe Corey will shoot a deer before then. Who knows?
I doubt it.
Me too.
I wish you guys the best of luck. I hope both of you go up and exceed your wildest expectations.
Me too. It's my first time, so
it's going to be a blast. And we're going to miss
you, buddy. Well, I'll be there in spirit. I'll also be down here hunting myself, so I'll let you know how I do. Well, maybe.
I'll give you a couple addresses, a couple properties that people won't be at because they're going to be up north.
That'll work, yeah.
Yeah.
Just you text them to me.
All right. So if you guys have any questions, comments, criticism, please throw them at us at raxfurandfeathers@gmail.com. Look us up on Facebook at Rax Fur and Feathers on our official page, or hit us up on our group. Look us up on Twitter at RFF Podcast, Instagram Rax Fur and Feathers. As always, all music and artwork is done by the Shane Yoder from PutThemInASong.com and the Root Note Podcast. And we will talk to you guys next week.